Thank you for inviting me to speak at the Million Worker March. On a move. Long live John Africa. Almost all of us, from wherever we've come, have something vital in common. We're engaged in the world of work. Some of us are members of unions, as am I, a proud, card-carrying member of the National Writers Union, which is affiliated with the United Auto Workers. Some of us, perhaps the majority, are not members of a union, and yet as so-called contingency workers, as temps, as part-timers, as on-call workers, as workfare, as day laborers, as permit temps, as immigrant workers, and last but not least, as prison laborers, we're people who are workers who add to social good, and all of us are catching hell. That's because wherever there is a war against wages, that means a war against workers. If we speak the truth, it doesn't matter who wins the White House. Workers are catching hell. That's because the only choices before the American people are corporate choices. A thin, narrow slice between two quite similar brokerage parties who sell their souls to the highest bidder. Think of it this way. The last president supported by vast labor votes was William Jefferson Clinton. And how did Clinton reward labor support? By passing NAFTA and opening the door to the globalist monster that is sucking the lifeblood from most working families across the nation. The drastic loss of U.S. manufacturing jobs and resultant drop in wages can be traced to the NAFTA bill. That's why a Million Worker March is so necessary, to break through the corporate gibble-gobble that now dominates the coming elections. Corporate candidates covered by corporate media for corporate interests. It's no wonder it's so slimy. It's also no wonder that the word workers rarely, if ever, crosses the lips of the corporate candidates. It's no wonder that the word union sounds like profanity when they mention it. It is only workers that can or will defend the interests of workers, like universal health care for all people, a national living wage and livable retirement benefits, to bring democracy to the shop floor so that decisions about work are made by those who labor, like taxation that is progressive on corporations and the wealthy and relieves the burdens on the working class and the poor, like an end to wars waged for corporate America like Iraq, like the immediate revocation of all anti-labor pacts like NAFTA, FTAA, the WTO, and CAFTA, the repeal of Taft-Hartley, and the repeal of the so-called Patriot Act. These are but some of the demands motivating the Million Worker March, but it can't be all of them. Workers actually build this society. It is they, and only they, who can rebuild it. This means a resurgence of the labor movement that is truly revolutionary, that does not settle for its slice, but changes the social order completely. The union movement has a history of exclusion that worked against its own class interests. What if all of those people we mentioned a few moments ago, part-timers, on-calls, permit-temps, immigrants, and yes, prison laborers, were actually unionized? It would add immeasurably to the power of labor and add to the power of unions generally as a social force in the social order. In a phrase, this is win-win. Social transformation is possible, but only with social organization. When people organize broadly and as a social force, then you'll hear those political whores speak the word union like they're speaking of a lover. Our esteemed ancestor, the great escaped captive and abolitionist Frederick Douglass, once said, "Power concedes nothing without demand." He was right then, he's right now. Labor must unite to force this corrupt political system to yield. We, all of us, will be able to construct new realities, not merely demand them. Or else, we will be choosing the same old monkeys to sit over us as they betray us forever. That time must end. I thank you. On a move. Long live John Africa. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.